Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday midweek, Wednesday, November the 12th, 2025. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour, and we are off and running, and I want to thank everybody who participated in yesterday's show. We had several different callers, people calling from outside the city of Marion, and hopefully we'll have that same type of discussion today, because I think it was very fruitful yesterday, and I think we all learned a lot, and that's what we want to do here each and every morning. Now, before we get to the open phone lines this morning, there's a little story I wanted to tell this morning, because I think you should start with a little story. So this morning, as many of you know, I live down Route 95. I never know if it's down or up Route 95, but I'm going to say I live down Route 95. And a lot of times I'll go through Meyer parking lot to get the light so I can get on to Route 95 a lot easier. So I go through Meyer parking lot and I go down to the light there by the gas station this morning. And I'm behind a car. And when you're sitting there and the light is not changing, you know, you're trying to find things to do. I do not get on the phone in the car. And I'm going to make myself into a liar here in a second. But normally, I don't get on the phone in the car like some people do, because that's illegal and you shouldn't do that. But I was looking at the bumper of the car in front of me. And it had a weird bumper sticker, because there's not many bumper stickers in the world right now anyway. But it had a bumper sticker, and I could only see the back of the car. And it said, "How's my driving?" And there was an 800 number there. Now, there was nothing else on the back of this, I think it was like a minivan type of a thing. And I thought, well, I wonder why anybody would have an issue that they would need to call this 800 number with this car in front of me. How's my driving? And what kind of car is this? So in any event, we wait for the light to change there at Meyer. The light changes, and the car turns, and there are two lanes you can turn into on Route 95. You can turn into the lane closest to you, which is the lane you're supposed to turn into when you pull out of a parking, parking lot, I guess is what it is. Or you can turn into the far lane, which you're really not supposed to do. You're supposed to turn into the lane nearest to you and then signal into the far lane. Well, as this car, minivan, whatever it was, in front of me pulls out, first thing I notice on the side of the van, it says aqua water. So I realize now this is an Aqua employee, and I'm kind of interested as to why they're so interested in the conduct of their drivers, but it did not take long to figure out. Because as they pulled out of the Meyer parking lot, the far lane on Route 95 was completely full for the most part. You maybe could have gotten two more cars in there as the traffic was starting to move. So I watch this car turn out, and it goes into the far lane, which you're not supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to go into the near lane and then signal into the far lane. But I understood why they did it, because the near lane was not backed up. So no problems there. So I start to pull out, and I'm going to go into the near lane, and then I'll just signal as I go on down the road to get into the far lane so I can go to McDonald's. And just as I am coming out of the parking lot, the Aqua car decides that they are going to get into the near lane, and they're already in the far lane because the far lane is too full. And obviously, there's one of those Aqua emergencies going on. So they just cut me off. No signal, cut me right off as they're going into the near lane. And I'm thinking, gee whiz, I cannot believe a representative from Aqua just cut me off here in the morning. And I'm not even sure why they were in the far lane to begin with, because you're not supposed to turn into the far lane. And they clearly could see that the far lane was packed with cars if they were in a hurry. And now they've cut me off. Just about, you know, ran right into me. T-boned me, as it were. So, I'm thinking, what do you do? Well, see, then the light bulb went off over my head, and I remembered that there was a bumper sticker on the back of their car that said, "How's my driving?" and an 800 number. And now I'm back behind this car because they have cut me off in the near lane. So now I'm looking right at that bumper sticker that says, "How's my driving?" And here's this 800 number. And now I've got a completely different feeling about how their driving is than I had moments earlier in the Meyer parking lot. So, at that point, I'm not going to tell you if I called in or not, but I certainly could see the number very clearly, and I certainly could see the code on the back of their car that you are supposed to give to the person on the other end of the phone line. Now, you would think that's where the story ends, but it doesn't. As we go down the road, I get in the far lane as the traffic subsides a little bit, and I get in the McDonald's parking lot. And at this point, I think, well, this story has ended. And as I'm going through the McDonald's parking lot, going through the drive-thru, I look in the rearview mirror, and who is behind me? It is this Aqua employee. And here are the two ironies. Number one, I may or may not have called this guy's driving in the last 5 minutes. He did cut me off. He just about T-boned me down by Meyer. And number two, now he's behind me. And I kept thinking, if he didn't like my driving, he could call it in, but I don't have a bumper sticker on the back of my car. So that's how, and I got to McDonald's quicker than he did, and I did not have to drive like a maniac, cutting people off on Route 95 at 7:15 to 7:30 in the morning. So there's that story. That's all I got for the opening. The phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I thought you might appreciate that little anecdote to start out the day. Because this was not a police officer. This was not an emergency vehicle. This was not a fire truck. This was an Aqua employee. But have you ever had a similar experience to this or anything? I always say I don't have to plan to talk about what I'm going to talk about on this show. All I have to do is get up and drive down the road, and inevitably something will happen. You will see something 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Love your roadways.
Ah, they were that way this morning.
Yeah, you should have. I got to believe you did call, because you should call. Because their driving is based upon insurance for those utility company or any company. And that reflects the rate. Or the rates, the cost of doing business, which the consumers have to foot.
Well, what?
Idiots like that need to be brought to the attention that, hey, look, and realistically, I would say maybe at least once a year, people should have driver re-education and have a credit towards their insurance bills for doing that.
Well, here was the interesting thing. At one point, I thought to myself, after he had cut me off and about T-boned me there, I thought, you know, doesn't he realize that there is a bumper sticker on the back of his car that says, "How am I driving?" with a phone number and a code to call in? And I thought, if you're driving that type of a car, also with your business's name on the side, this is not the best car to be cutting people off in.
most people don't realize it. They just get behind the wheel, and they're kind of on autopilot. While going to Ohio State, and for a few years after, I used to teach driver ed, and I even taught driver ed in the San Francisco Bay Area. So if you want a shock, an awakening, try to drive in that congested area.
Well,
but
you know,
I've been taught around here as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I've driven in Washington, D.C. I've driven in Manhattan. I've driven in Chicago. And, you know, so I've seen some certainly creative driving. The most creative driving is not in Marion, Ohio. But if I had a bumper sticker on the back of my car or I was driving a company car, I think I would be a little more hesitant to do things like that.
Well, you know, too, did you have any sense of how old the driver was?
Oh, yeah, I saw the person when I was in the line at McDonald's. They were probably, I'll say, 50 to 60.
See, a lot of people don't realize, it's been a while, but a lot of people don't realize that when you're in the situation you are, you're pulling out of mire, and even if you have the green light arrow, I mean, you've got it, no questions. But if you have opposing traffic, they want to turn right, and you want to turn right. Too many people don't realize you turn into your near lane so you can help maintain the flow of traffic. Then once you make your turn into the near lane, then you jockey for lane position.
Right.
I've had people ram me. I mean, we made the turn. The idiot just came on over and tagged me. And, I was turning right. I had the right of way. Don't hold any water these days.
No, and it's interesting because I believe that rule and also the rule of having your lights on when it's raining, no matter what time of day, are probably the two most avoided rules or unknown rules in driving. Now, most cars now will turn your lights on when it gets dark, but a lot of times it'll rain and it doesn't set those sensors off. So people don't really mess with their headlights anymore, so they never go down and turn them on.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how many law enforcement officers enforce that, you know?
Oh, I don't think many.
Because if you started handing out tickets, more people say, oh, geez, got to turn my lights on, or when I have my wipers on, just like lane changing without turn signals and that. Those should be a moving violation, so people, you know, that's what I always... You remember Spook Beckman?
Oh, yeah.
When he had his radio show, I forget which one it was, he was in a front store window. I was teaching driver ed, and he'd have a call in, and I said, hey, I'm so-and-so from this driver ed. Tell people to please use their turn signals so we can communicate and adjust our driving to your driving. And he got on there and said, hey, you folks, you spend a lot of money for a car. You spend a lot of money, and you've got turn signals. Use them, you know? Little things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was my morning opening. Anything interesting on your mind this morning? We had a deep discussion with a lot of callers yesterday morning. Took us right past 10 o'clock, which I thought was interesting. Any thoughts on anything going on in the city or stories or blah, 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 blah?
Back to a major concern is economic development. What has been going on? What has Denny Ferguson done? Let's see proof positive. Let's see how big of a database there is and whether there's a connect or a disconnect between those in the database that Gus Comstock was supposed to have been or should have been building to keep Marion in the loop so that we could be a potential site for new industry as well as how often did he, which I don't think he did, contact local businesses to say, hey, how can-do help you? Are you looking to expand? Do you need training? What can we do to help you become more successful? That's the job of the economic development director. So it concerns me, this job description. There should be a requirement. And this stuff about, you know, they need to put some teeth into that job description. Preferred education, preferred. That's a bunch of crap. These people, they don't know what the hell they're doing. And they should hire a professional headhunter for this instead of trying to figure it out themselves. You know, there should be a requirement that they have a minimum of a bachelor's degree in business development. I don't know exactly what the title or what a four-year degree would be, but along with that, have at least 5 years experience. But the most important thing is what I would call a book of business. Whoever they hire, if they don't have at least a couple hundred people in their network from, as you may recall, Frank Gibson talking about the communities of interest, if they don't have at least a couple hundred contacts in those various communities of interest to pull together and to make his network work and focus on bringing businesses to Marion. And it can be a combination, whether it's industrial, whether it's retail, whatever it is, so that we can build our base. So we really need to structure that job description, as well as, you know, it was up in the air. Well, maybe the guy doesn't have all this experience. We don't start him out at 120. But there was never anything that would suggest incentive. Holding a carrot out there, if you achieve this goal, you get a bonus, so on and so forth. Nothing in there at all. It's just a bureaucrat's job description based upon what bureaucrats do. Again, private enterprise is what should be done. And, you know, I think we do have some, I forget what Aaron Rollins called it, about one Marion, you know?
Well,
what's with that? It's never made mention anywhere, a description, but yet the omnipotent, omniscient mayor stands up and says what it is, and yet there's no reference whatever in any documentation.
I think concept is what it was. I think that's what the mayor said, if I remember right.
Concept, you know, why can't a concept have something on paper? A concept. It's kind of like a treatment for a movie. That's what it is. So put the concept down on paper. It can't just exist in somebody's head and you say, oh, well, this is the concept. No, it has to be able to be referred to over and over again. Well, one Marion, you know, are we going to have a one-legged butt-kicking contest? Or are we going to have feet on the ground and get traction? You know?
Well, we'll find out. It was voted in 7-2. So that job description is a done deal at this point.
You know, the Yarger report is how old?
I don't know, the 60s?
Yeah. Don't you kind of think it's time that the Yarger report be revised for job descriptions?
Well, I think that's what they did Monday night.
Well, they just reintroduced that for the economic development.
Right, but I think that was the whole thing Monday was about amending the original job description.
Well, you had the job description in the Yarger report.
Right, but the job description in
86, then they abolished it, got rid of it. Now they're reintroducing it.
But it's a different
on the job description that they had written up, which wasn't part. I mean, there was only a minuscule part on that Yarger report. So they made up more things and added it to it. Now, if you take a look at those documents, you'll see somebody was cutting and pasting. because the fonts were different.
I guess much like most things, council voted on it. That's the voice of the people. 7-2, it's been changed. It's there.
Well, we can also thank council because for how many years they subsidized the life of Gus Comstock by not asking any questions whatsoever and just blindly giving money without saying, hey, we want quarterly reports. What are we going to get for this investment? It was just, give it to them. They always gave it to them, and that was it. Now, look where we are.
Well, we shall see what happens. Thanks.
Do it better tomorrow.
All right. Now, a couple other things I wanted to talk about for those of you who are interested, we still, and it's only been since Monday, so this is not a negative thing, but the $25,000, if you're just tuning in this morning, that City Council allocated on Monday night to the administration on how to spend... Well, Monday night, City Council unanimously allocated $25,000 to the administration to spend on those in need because of the loss of SNAP benefits. Now, I emailed the mayor yesterday, and he said as soon as he knows how this money is going to be distributed, he will let me know, he'll let others know. At this point, we don't know, but it has only been 24 hours. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. But if the mayor's listening out there, or if anybody knows how this money's going to be distributed, feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That certainly could take a couple days. But I will tell you something that's interesting about this money is that we put up a post on our social media page, and it's been shared other places, and people are talking about it. And I think it was mentioned on this show yesterday. The overwhelming consensus on it is not negative, but there is some negative feedback on it, which is interesting. It certainly is not isolated negative feedback. And like I said yesterday, it's an interesting thing to be negative about because we're not even sure yet how it's going to be distributed. Now, if you don't like how it's going to be distributed, you might have a reason to be negative about it. But I'm not sure why the negativity is already coming out about this. And also, council voted for it unanimously. So these are your elected officials. This wasn't one person saying, let's use $25,000 for this. This was the entire council voting to do it through a motion. So I'm not really sure that I understand the anger. I get the opposing viewpoint that government should not be involved in things like this, but the negativity is a little interesting. And the responses, I don't know. I find them fascinating. Like I say, they aren't the overwhelming response. The overwhelming response seems to be pretty positive, but there's a little bit of negativity there, as was stated on the show yesterday by one of our callers. So does anybody have any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But again, as soon as we know how this money is going to be distributed or how this is all going to happen, we'll let you know. I would think that's going to be a very complicated bit of business, as it were. But who knows? Go ahead, caller.
You know, it is really a great thing the council wants to put some money out there to help. The issue, I think, is going to be logistics. And it would seem to me the best way to start that money to flow would be get a hold of Roxanne Summerlott of the Marion County, Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services. They are the ones that do, last I knew, distribute food stamp cards and that. So it would seem that they would be the ones that know those who are really in dire need. One thing we have to remember, too, those are supplemental what is it, SNAP is Supplemental Assistance, Nutritional Assistance Program. People that receive these benefits have a certain level of income, and their benefits are based, I guess, what do you call a sliding scale, but they shouldn't depend solely as that as a source of food. But the fact of the matter is, this is what community is all about. Giving, helping, giving people a hand. And hopefully, all of the logistics will be worked out, and those who deserve this money for food, etc., they get it, and hopefully the rest of the government will get back in gear.
We'll see.
I think it's admirable that Ayers Jr. came up with this and council voted for it. Just imagine if we only had $10,000 more to put into it. Do a better tomorrow.
All right, thank you. And again, phone lines are open this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But a little bit of a negative response from certain people, but I highly unlikely that's going to stop the money from being allocated. It's already been allocated, and it's in the mayor's office at this point. So they will decide how it will be distributed. I don't know. I would think it would be very hard to do it on a person-to-person basis. I'm not sure. It's an interesting task for the mayor, because you don't want to take this money and use it in a way that's going to tick people off. Now, the homeless shelter, I don't think you can go wrong there, because they are not typically a group that gets a lot of money from private donation. I don't really know, to be honest with you, but I don't think anybody would be upset with the homeless shelter getting money. I think that was mentioned the other night. I think there are groups in town that are working hard. Well, hey, by the way, the peanut butter jelly truck was, I believe, on Channel 4 last night. I saw a lot of posts about that. That's very nice that story made Channel 4. And I wanted to, this is something that is very interesting to me, is that when we do a story on this station, because I've often said that all the stories that are done on this station aren't necessarily the things that I would talk about myself. They're not personal choices. They're things I think that should be talked about in the community of Marion, not necessarily my personal interest. We did a lot on the peanut butter jelly truck last week, and it was interesting to see that on Channel 4. Now, I'm not saying because we talked about it, it got on Channel 4, but what I'm saying is I think people who do news understand what is a story and what is not a story. And however that story got to Channel 4, because it had to get there somewhere, I highly doubt they would just pull the peanut butter jelly truck out of the air in Marion, Ohio, them being in Columbus. However it got there, it's nice that they came to Marion and did do a story on that, and I hear it was a very positive story. But it is interesting to me that when we do a lot of our stories, within days you will see those pop up on other sites, you will see those profiled a lot of times on Columbus television, and that's a nice thing. I don't think that they're taking them from us or doing stories that we've already done. I just think that means that we're in the right news frame of mind. You know, some sites report on things, some news outlets report on things that people don't really consider news. It's more of a personal preference. It's something that is very opinion-based. And I like that clearly what we're doing here is news, and other organizations that have been around a long time, like Channel 4 and local newspapers, also feel that way. So that's a good thing. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Did anybody see the peanut butter jelly truck profile on the Channel 4 News last night? Hopefully it went over well. I did not get a chance to watch it, but I'm glad that it certainly was profiled there, and a lot of people did get to see it, and it profiles a lot of people's hard work, but it also profiles the giving nature of Marion, and it's nice to see a positive story about Marion on the Columbus News, because that's not always the case when we end up on the Columbus News. All right. Well, again, the phone lines are open this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, I'll tell you, it's feast or famine when it comes to the phone calls. Yesterday, we went through the show with complete phone calls. Today, a little slower. Like I say, it always depends on the topics. It always depends on what you're talking about, as if people are interested. But you know what? We soldier on. So, yeah, the peanut butter jelly truck featured on Channel 4. That was very nice. It's interesting to see some of the negative comments about the $25,000 allocated by City Council for people in need because of the loss of the SNAP benefits. I think that's an interesting conversation that's being had. Let's see. Well, this whole Aqua car, van, whatever it was this morning, I found that to be an interesting story, as it were. Okay, well, what else is going on? Well, you know, Monday night city council meeting, I think, was pretty well headlined by everything we've talked about. It was headlined by the $25,000 to people in need. I think it was headlined by the development of the economic development or the creation amendment in the Yarger report of the economic development director. Go ahead, caller.
Let's see if this will get some phone calls in with this question. Do you think it should be legal for thespians to marry?
Oh, sure.
See if that'll get some people calling in.
I tell you, all we got to do is start talking about memes like yesterday. That'll get them calling in. Everybody had an opinion on that.
Why is it? Oh, it's a meme. It's a bloody cartoon, for crying out loud. Oh,
geez. Well, like I say, I think that all just comes down to, not to chew our food again here, but I just think that comes down to, for a lot of people, after all the conversation we had yesterday morning about it, what I think that comes down to is some people trying to be funny who, a lot of time, it just is not coming off funny. And when something comes off funny, people can laugh, but if it's not coming off funny, people do find it offensive.
Mm. Well, there are significant individuals who have peculiar sense of humor. So, you know, Norm MacDonald, one of them. You know, and if people are so thin-skinned, they just should keep locked up in their homes and not go out into public. But the question, I think a lot of viewers, should thespians be legally allowed to be married? So
we'll see what happens.
Let's see what we can get here. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You know, we had a deep conversation about this meme thing yesterday. You know, little, I guess, I'm not even sure how you would define them. Pictures put up on the internet that are, I think, for the most part, intended to be funny. I think that's what people are going for. I don't really know. But, maybe we got a little bit of a conversation going on here. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
You made it to work and all.
Just barely this morning.
Hey, I did see the thing on Channel 4 last night.
Oh, how was it?
Very nice, except it was a little embarrassing.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, when they say what percentage of people in Marion are on SNAP or whatever, which was kind of a big number.
11,000, I think.
That was a little embarrassing, but it, facts is. But anyway, you know, them giving $25,000, that is wonderful.
I know, how could anybody complain about that?
No, I'm not complaining about it, but I could give $20,000 too, but then how am I going to pay my bills next week?
Well, that is the question, and I think what happened here was, I think those council people, for all that's said about them, and Ayers, who, as I said, has had a very difficult 2 years, and things like the finances of Marion and the $10,000 party this past summer, I think they would have felt very guilty had they not went along with this, even though I think they're hoping they can spend the opioid money on that, which has to be spent on very specific things.
Okay, I understand that. I don't have that little cookie jar at my house. But, you know, like I said, I did make a donation, and I'm not patting myself on the back, and a friend of mine went in with me, and I took her money up, put it in the box. But I just was thinking, well, I could give a whole bunch more today, but then tomorrow I might wonder, I don't know. You know, because like I said, last week the state was coming in to see, you know, straighten out our books. And then this week we have $25,000 to give to, and bless their hearts for doing it. But, you know, sometimes emotions come out a little maybe strong. And I'm not being a, well, I guess I am, but I just think, what? Last week they didn't have any money, and this week they've got $25,000 to give.
Well, you know, I absolutely know what you're saying, but here is where I, because I was in the room when this happened, and I think one thing that happened, number one, was that earlier in that meeting, they had created this economic development position. And that had two negative votes against it. And there was a lot of talk about, should you create a position that's going to pay somebody $120,000 a year while you're in financial distress? And you know, that's over the course of a year for one person. So they had passed that in the same meeting. And then
they still don't have the money to pay it.
Well, right. But I think that had happened. I think also they have no plans to shut down the Night Moves bus, which nobody has seen the finances on that yet, except that we know that the line item is negative in that particular area, transportation. And so I think it would have been very hard if this were brought up to have this snap conversation. I think it would have been very hard to say no to a one-time disbursement of $25,000 to a lot of people after you pretty much just okayed $120,000 for one person for continual years.
How can they pay that kind of any kind of money if they don't know if they've got any money?
Well, you know, that question never really, I mean, it does, I don't want to say it doesn't come up, but it doesn't come up amongst the people who are voting.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, a lot of times people give emotionally when they're, because, well, like I said, I gave money too, but I didn't give more than I could afford to give.
Right. And I think their best, it's kind of started like, it was an interesting meeting, because initially it was, we have this opioid money, we can only spend this in a certain way, and what better way to help keep people straight than to give them food? So that's where they hope the money comes from. But then the backup was, you know what, we need to give this money anyway, so if the opioid money is not there, and we cannot use it for this, then it needs to come out of the general fund anyway because people are hurt. And it seemed to be the tact on Monday that no matter what condition we're in, this is our city, this is a huge problem, peanut butter jelly trucks running out of money, people, food banks are running out of food, and, you know, we got to do something.
Well, I understand that, Scott, but it comes right back to the fact of what am I going to do tomorrow?
You know, though, here's what I always wonder, because I say there has been somewhat criticism, not a lot. I don't know what the numbers are, but there has been some criticism of this. Now, some of it are money-wise. Some of it are they just don't like that the city did this. But here's the thing. The answer always is, well, private industry will take care of this. Private industry will take care of this, you know, but it doesn't. You know, the peanut butter jelly truck had to ask. You know, private industry wasn't just showing up and giving them money, even though they realized the SNAP benefits had run out in Marion. Most people don't understand that there are 11,000 people in Marion on SNAP benefits. The food shelters are not stocked fully and didn't get the attention that the peanut butter jelly truck got. The homeless shelter, does anybody know how they're doing? You know, I don't know that people check in. It's not a glamorous cause to give to. So I think those are the problems that go on, is that left up to private business, it would be great if city government didn't have to get involved. It would be great if private business that had a lot of money, like Whirlpool and Wyandotte and organizations like that, would just write $25,000 checks to these organizations. But they don't. And why is that?
Well, I understand, and I certainly do not resent the fact they give them the money. But what I'm saying is, I could write a check too, but I ain't got that kind of money in my checking account either.
I know, it's a big kerfluffle for the city right now, because they are in financial trouble. But you know, one of the other issues there is how much financial trouble could they be in if they just voted for a position for $120,000? Now I think they only pay 80 of that, but how does that happen? And that vote passes 7-2. And I think people, you know, the mayor said he went into the budget and they are cutting things and so on and so forth. And they're
cutting positions, taking away money from people they have now and hiring people that they don't have that apparently aren't necessary now.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see what these budget cuts are. And
I think it's, I'll just say I'm not going to be, but I say you don't spend money you don't have. And when the state has to come in to balance your checkbook or whatever they're doing, you're not spending the doggone money. At least it'll be easy for them to find where it's at.
Well, I mean, here was one of the things, like I say, and I'm no genius, but I have been covering city government for a long time. And when Mayor Collins came in, and it did start there, I mean, it did. I never understood where the money was coming from for the wraps and the signs and the Love Your City street signs and the expansion of the bus service and the party in the park, and these new positions like budget director, economic development director, grant writer. Now, they'll tell you that the grant writer position has been paid for many times by the grants that she's gotten, and that might be true, but what about the others? And I never understood where that money was coming from, because other mayors, I'm sure, would have liked to have done that and had that. When you give the city a $10,000 party, you're going to make people happy. It's $10,000 worth of free food. When you give $25,000 to people in need at a time when SNAP benefits are cut off, when your community has 11,000 people on SNAP benefits, that's going to be popular. But
well, yes, you're exactly right. But the dollar bill is a dollar bill. I don't care where it's going, what they're spending it for. But if last week they didn't have any money and this week they're spending $25,000, and I'm glad they are. But the bottom line, as your friend says, if I was out of money, I couldn't go and just bounce. Well, I guess write one of my rubber checks, but I do not understand where they come up with the money to hire somebody, and last week we were broke.
Well, before we go to break here, this is something that I always feel the most basic questions are the ones that never get answered. And a lot of times we get off in the weeds, I feel, at city council meetings, trying to be very specific, or trying to be very obtuse with questions, you know, this. And one question I've never heard asked since we have went into this financial distress is, you know, why did you think we had money for all of these things? And do you still think these were good ideas? I think those are basic questions that you would ask of somebody who created or asked for these created positions or spent the money unilaterally on this stuff. I mean,
I'm not going to take any more of your time, but the bottom line is last week we were in the red, and this week we had $25,000 give away.
Well, it's a good question.
I don't care if it was to staff or to have her, our people, which that worst part was pretty sad when they said how many people in Marion County was on SNAP. But the worst thing of it is, if I don't have any money yesterday and I didn't make any last night, how am I going to spend more today?
Well, it's a good question. It's a good question. And we'll see. Hey, thanks for calling.
Keep on. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we'll be back after this break.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.com.